we've been delivered from the darkness of sin, that you and I have been delivered from another realm.
Welcome to Air Jaren. This program is the production of Global Radio Ministries and Jaren Ministries International. This study series is the Book of Colossians. The series is the work of Dr. James Ceci. For these past few weeks, Pastor Ceci has been teaching us about the marks of the mature Christian. These distinguishing marks all are contained in the Apostle Paul's pastoral prayer in this passage in Colossians, chapter 1, and verses 9 through 14. Listen again to this remarkable passage.
Colossians 1 verses 9 to 14. Marked for life. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For He rescued us from the domain of darkness, and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins.
Last time Pastor Ceci was discussing the final distinguishing mark, a thankful life. The thankful life continuously expresses praise and thanksgiving for all that God has done for us. We therefore have reasons for rejoicing. The first reason, discussed last time, is that we are joint heirs of God's inheritance. Knowing this should affect our perspective on life, our attitude toward our fellow Christians, our behavior. And it should affect the quality of our work. It is the Lord that we serve. And now, with reason two for rejoicing and the conclusion of the marks of the mature Christian, is Pastor Jim Ceci.
Reason number two, we've been delivered from the darkness of sin. You see it there in verse 13? For He rescued us from the domain of darkness. And what a statement. The Greek phrase has a verb and two nouns, ruomai and exousia and skatus. And if you have a New American Standard, you see rescued from the domain of darkness. But if you have a New International, rescued us from the dominion of darkness. King James has delivered us from the power of darkness. And even the contemporary English version says rescued us from the dark power of Satan. But no matter how you translate it, don't miss the pathos of it. That you and I have been delivered from another realm. It's talking about what we used to be as opposed to what we are now. We have not just been rescued from false religion. We've not just been rescued from spiritual indifference. We've not just been rescued from a wayward life. We have been rescued, pulled out from a wide sweeping exousia, an oppressive power of sin and death that controlled our lives as unbelievers. And I know that control of my life before I turned 21. I know it. I could describe it and you would not want to hear the stories. They were as ugly can be. And I'm sure some of you could say amen in your own life. That sin had complete jurisdiction over my unbelieving life, but He pulled me out. He rescued me from me. And from the domain of darkness that sealed me in darkness, blinded me to the light of God's character, cut me off from the gospel until God rescued me from that dark kingdom. And that's why. Because of Christ's work on the cross, we can sing with eternal sincerity. Not just eternal security. I chose those words carefully. But with eternal sincerity, we can sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a stinky, foul-smelling wretch like me and you. Oh, I was once lost. But now, I'm found. I was blind. But now I see. Wow. Don't have to shout it. Reason number three. is that we've been transformed to the kingdom of God's Son. He calls Him His beloved Son. Oh, you know how much I love that word in verse 13. But don't miss this, that in the ancient world, when they conquered an empire, one empire conquered another, they would take a portion of the people and pull them to the new empire. All right, it was a very common practice. For example, in 721, 722 BC, Assyria conquered the northern tribes, the 10 tribes of Israel, remember, brought a portion of them and transformed them into their image. Don't miss this. Remember in 586 BC, when the southern tribes of Judah and Benjamin, called often Judah, then what happened with its capital in Jerusalem in 586 would come in, and the Babylonians would come in and take a portion of them to Babylon and try to make them into their own image. Don't miss the analogy. Paul's using that same imagery to say that God reached into the kingdom of darkness and pulled a remnant out of that kingdom of darkness, right? And transferred in the kingdom, the realm, and the authority of His beloved Son, uprooted us from that war-torn, corrupt homeland, the kingdom of this world, the kingdom of earth, reestablished us as citizens of a new country, the kingdom of heaven. And in Philippians, the third chapter, he will talk about that, that you and I are citizens of heaven. Philippians 3, verse 19 and 20. But there's something different. Because instead of treating us as second-class immigrants or as a conquered people, God adopted us into the royal family. That's what Jesus said in John 1:12. He said, "For as many as received Him, to them He gave the exousia," same word Paul uses in Colossians, the authority, the power to become the children of God, even to those who believe in His name. Oh, because of grace and because of mercy and faith in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone, we are children of God. We are the princes and princesses of a new realm with all the rights and privileges, and it is eternal. I was born and raised in Toronto, Canada until I was 11 years old. I was born in 1950. In 1953, the Queen was coronated. Queen Elizabeth II was coronated for the Canadian people. And I eventually moved to an apartment building in the park where the Queen was coronated. In fact, at the age of 9, I was detained by the police. Okay, I was arrested by the police. I was put in jail for 5 minutes because my brothers and I built a treehouse in the tree where the Queen was coronated. Apparently, that's not a legal thing to do. And so they put me in jail to say, "Look, we're going to scare you." And it did. You know, I was 9 years old in a jail, locked. They walked away. And I said, "I don't think I want to be here." All right. But so I'm not real impressed with the monarchy. I know some of you guys really like Prince William and Kate Middleton. But you want to know something? I could live with the fact that if they had jeans and a t-shirt and were commoners, I'd be fine with that too. I really would be. I don't care. Because the fact is, the 1,000-year monarchy may fold. I know somebody was from England in our first service, and they were real happy with that. But the point is, the realm of Christ is eternal. And yet you and I will never be commoners. We are royal forever, and we can sing the old chorus with gusto and permanence. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain. I've been cleansed by His blood. I'm a joint heir with Jesus as we travel this sod, finish it. I'm a part of the family of God, and no one will ever take that away. They can't. Paul moves on. You have some reason for rejoicing already? He's not done. Reason for rejoicing number 4 is that we've been bought with the blood of Christ. He directs our attention from the Father to the Son. And he talks about Christ, His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption. Everybody say redemption. What a power-packed word. I could preach for weeks on just that one word. The Greek word apolutrosis there. It means to be bought, to have a ransom paid for you before you were executed. To be a slave delivered from bondage, to be a prisoner of war set free. It means, in fact, a penalty that's been paid and you've been emancipated. My favorite, and Wong, you'll appreciate this, is the Chinese phrase for this. And excuse me if I get this wrong. But asmai hui de, it means to be bought back. To be bought back. It's also in the Chinese Bible as redemption. I'm redeemed by a high price. See, the truth of the matter is there's an optical reader on our hearts. An optical printed barcode. And it has a price for our salvation. A ransom that has to be paid. That death penalty, because the wage of sin is what? Is death. But the gift of God is what? It is life in Christ and the sacrifice of the shed blood of the Lamb. That's what Paul will say in 1 Timothy 2:6, that Jesus Christ gave Himself as a ransom for all. Romans 3:23-25, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by His grace through what? The redemption which is in Christ, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation. The Greek word means a satisfaction in His blood. Oh, it was a costly price paid for us. Ephesians 1:7, in Him, that's Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. Paul summarized it. It's what I signed the book now in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. For you have been bought with a price. Then it goes to say in the next verse, therefore glorify God in your body. 1 Peter 1:18, you were not redeemed with perishable things, but with precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. In 1974, I was privileged to start being a youth pastor at a church in Santa Cruz County. And in those days, there wasn't a lot of music, Sam. We really needed Christian music, and we didn't have much, and we would take secular songs and rewrite them until the Christian music movement kind of moved. But there was one song that came out that really did have a great message to it. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sin away. And now I sing that brand new song, Amazing Grace, all day long. Christ Jesus came and washed my sin away. And that's why you can say wow if you want, but there's another phrase that you can use. From the 4th chapter of Galatians to the 8th chapter of Romans, you can cry out the same words that a slave would cry out to his master who now bought him and made him his son. It's the phrase, Abba, Father. Say it with me. Abba, Father. Abba means my protector, my daddy. It's the possessive of the Hebrew word of. And of course, Father, Pater there, puts it together in both a Hebraic and a Greek fashion. They cried out with both. You are the adopted child of God. You have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and you can cry out any day of your life in praise, Abba, Father. Say it again. Abba, Father. Joint heirs of God's inheritance, delivered from the bondage of sin, transferred to the kingdom of God's beloved Son, brought with the blood of Christ. Number five, reason for rejoicing. Number five, we are experiencing the forgiveness of our sins. And not just a forgiveness. Notice the definite article there. The forgiveness. The all-overarching, all-encompassing forgiveness that John will talk about in his epistle. In two places, in chapter 1, verse 9, when he says, if you confess your sin, hamalageu, if you agree with God about your sin, then He is faithful and just, dikiosune there, faithful and just to forgive that sin and to cleanse you from panta, all unrighteousness. Wow. And that's why in verse 12, he'll say, I'm writing to you little children, because your sins, plural, the whole body of are forgiven for His name's sake. And that's what Paul's alluding to here. He uses the word effacing in there in chapter 1, verse 14. And it's really going back to the Old Testament days. 1,000 years earlier, 3,000 from us, when he's talking about Psalm 103. That wonderful psalm that we love to read and we forget its import. Read it with me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits, who pardons all your iniquities. There's that all again. Jump down to verse 10. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His loving kindness toward those who fear Him. As far as east is from west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. We forget that, don't we? Let me illustrate it. If you wear glasses today, I want you to take them off. Okay? Because I look much better with your glasses off. There's something about needing glasses. Now put them back on. Because that's what forgiveness of sins is all about. Sin gives us a distorted view of grace, a distorted view of mercy, a distorted view of Christ, a distorted view of the gospel. That's why Paul's going to continue in chapter 1, verse 15, and talk about some portraits of the clear and presented Christ. He wants us to be focused, but not until we understand and praise Him for the forgiveness that gives us a clear focus. It's all in context. God's forgiveness brought my life into clearer focus. So I want you to imagine us doing something today. I want you to imagine assigning all of our sin a smell. All of them. Not just our body of sin, but every sin we've ever committed. Assign it a smell. All of us. And we put that pile of garbage in this auditorium. Smell it. Get me out of here. But then God reaches in and He covers the garbage with His grace and His mercy. And His blood. Now smell it. So sweet. And now we can turn that pile of garbage into a mountain of praise. That's Paul's point. That's why he presents this entire prayer. So that it will culminate not in doctrinal study, as important as that is. Not in more information about salvation, as valuable as that might be. But so that it will result in praise and honor and glory. That's why. And so we can say together, thank you, Lord, for your grace, your mercy, and your forgiveness. Say that with me, please. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. How do we praise Him for all that? When I first went to seminary, it was a buddy of mine in one of my theology classes who I got to know. It was the first year of seminary. But I didn't know that he could sing. And I'll never forget being in chapel, Talbot Theological Seminary down in Southern California. And I had just been, I had been overwhelmed. It was my first year of seminary. I'd only been a believer for 4 years. And I was just overwhelmed by the grace and the mercy of God. That He would not only call me to be His child, but that He'd be preparing me for ministry. Because nobody felt more unqualified, unfit. And I'll never forget this for as long as I live. Because he came up just before the chapel speaker and he sang a song that I had never heard before, that is now very familiar. And I wept. And I'm not a weeper. I don't mind if you're a weeper. And if you're a weep, fine. And I don't mind weeping if I have cause to weep. I'm not opposed to it. I just am not one. But I did that day. And he came up and he sang this song that you've heard so often. But I remember that first time. How can I say thanks for the things He's done for me? Things so undeserved. Here I said I'm not, and I'm... Some of you prayed for that, I think. Things so undeserved that He gave to prove His love for me. And the voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am or ever hope to be, I owe it all to Thee. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for the things He has done. Soli Deo Gloria. Amen. Amen. Father, thank you. Thank you for the salvation made possible by the blood of Christ. We were unfit. You made us fit. and you brought us into the kingdom of your beloved Son. For by grace we are saved through faith. Thank you for that gift. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We can be thankful and give God praise because He has freely given us the life we did not deserve and has covered over our sin, for which we would deserve death.
Oswald Sanders once said, "God is more willing to guide us than we are to be led." Similarly, Chuck Swindoll stated, "I'm now convinced that the real issue is not so much, what does the Lord want me to do? As it is, am I willing to do it once He makes it clear?" Is there an area of your life where you are afraid to know the will of God? Is there a situation in your life where you want God to reveal His will to you? What did you learn this week that might help you to better understand the will of God? We are marked for life. Let's go back over the distinguishing marks of the mature Christian contained in Paul's prayer.
Number 1. A full life. One that is filled with the life-changing knowledge and wisdom to follow God's perfect will for my life. Number 2. An exemplary life that walks and talks so much like Jesus that others want to imitate me. Number 3. A pleasing life. A life that delights God by doing anything He calls me to do when He calls me to do it. Number 4. A fruitful life that never stops working and serving the King of Kings. Number 5. A growing life that increases daily in the knowledge of God. Number 6. A powerful life that demonstrates God's strength and not my own. Number 7. A steadfast life that endures life's circumstances without giving up. Number 8. A patient life that refuses to let people's shortcomings get in the way of my Christ-likeness. And number 9. A thankful life that continuously expresses praise and thanksgiving for all that God has done for me.
Next time, we will travel to the art gallery. We will be in awe. There, we will witness several portraits featuring the magnificent Christ.
Sitting here alone in my room, recognizing how I've treated the bridegroom. King of Kings has given everything, and such a simple heart to Him I do bring. My heart is in pain, how I missed the mark. So my cry to Him as I'm falling apart is, the Lord, I'm not satisfied. Draw me to your side, 'cause I need you more. Your word I long for, can't wait what's in store. I need your eternal spring to come and flood everything, my heart and my soul. Being overwhelmed by my sin, coming to grips with the darkness that I find within. But just when the devil feels like he's won, I put my focus back upon the sun, and I again realize His grace that enables me to look upon His face. seek your face. 'Cause Lord, I'm not satisfied. So please draw me to your side. 'Cause I need you more. You're what I long for. Can't wait what's in store. Lord, I'm not satisfied.